You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back. Yesterday on the program, we were telling you about this amazing, dare I say, and I know none of them will agree to this, heroic situation that took place in Liberty, Missouri this week. Let me just read you very briefly from the Channel 9 news story, and then we'll play you some of the body camera footage. And then we have all three, two firefighters and one police officer, and the officer is in studio with us. Here is a story from Channel 9. Just to refresh your memory or bring you up to date if you didn't hear the story yesterday. Liberty emergency crews jumped into action to save a woman and her baby, 6 months old, by the way, trapped after a rollover crash into an icy creek on Tuesday. The Liberty Police Department and Fire Department were called to the scene of a rollover crash with a car in the creek. When they arrived, they found an SUV on its driver's side in the water, the passengers trapped in the vehicle. An officer and assistant fire chief approached the vehicle, but the ice gave way. The officer became submerged up to his waist as he continued on toward the vehicle. He cut open the windshield and helped free the driver, but the infant was still in the back seat. The firefighters removed the rest of the windshield so the officer could crawl into the car to reach the six-month-old baby, who was fortunately on the passenger side of the vehicle and not touching the water. Sam, if you could, just a bit of the officer's body camera footage.
We're going to get you.
Where's the child at, in their ear?
He's right here. We just can't get the door open.
Okay, three, you're down here. Blast master.
Hang tight. I'm going to cut your windshield out, okay?
Do you want to look over that? I have to move.
Yes.
You want me to move? Hey.
31.
I know. You're not. You're okay. You're okay. The creek's not that deep. It's okay.
Hey,
Chief. Okay, that's my. We got it right here. Easy up.
Wow. Talk about the hair on your arm standing up. Joining us in studio is Liberty Police Officer Zachary Morrison. On the phone, Chief Tyler Hobbs and Captain Josh Lance, and to all of you, we say hello.
And thank you.
And thank you.
So, Officer, we'll start with you because you are in studio here with us today. People Magazine just picked up this story, by the way. And I know my friends in public safety always have some level of, like, uncomfortability with that. And I can see you kind of, what is that like for you listening to the audio? That is your body cam.
Honestly, it's a unique experience. A lot of the times with calls like this, you don't have time to kind of process what's going on scene. And just to be able to listen to it after the fact, it takes you back pretty quickly. And it's pretty amazing being able to recount everything and kind of actually think in detail what actually happened. And just to be able to recall how we're able to pull everybody to safety. And just glad that it was a team effort and that everything worked out the way that it did, because it could have been so much worse.
The first sound you hear on that audio that we just played for our listeners, that's you sliding down that embankment. So you slide down and you first see what?
So I slid down directly behind, I believe it was the assistant fire chief with me. He kind of led the way. Once I saw him going down there, I kind of figured at that point that was our only way to get down to the vehicle. We're the first ones that get down there, and we immediately saw the vehicle that was overturned on its driver's side. You could see the ice had kind of gave way by the front of the vehicle. There's a decent amount of water that was kind of rising up next to it. We approached the vehicle. Ice gave way a little bit. Wasn't too bad at that point, but that's when we located the mother and driver of the vehicle. She was submerged to about her waist. Yeah. You could tell she was definitely freezing there, a little bit overwhelmed and kind of freaked out.
You can hear, and then we'll bring our firefighters in. You guys ask her at one point, like, are you okay? Can you move? And she says no. And so let's bring in our firefighters, Assistant Chief and Captain Josh Lance. Thank you for joining us. How cold was that water? A lot of people want to know.
It was cold. It was definitely freezing. We weren't expecting to have to get into it, but sometimes you just have to get in the water and do what you can. I saw the officer was in there. He didn't have the Gumby suits that we have, but we got in there to make sure that we could actually help her and get her out, and especially make sure that the child was okay.
Was she panicking at the moment? I can only imagine she certainly feared for her child's life and maybe even her own.
I would say, yeah, she was a little panicked, mainly cold, but I think, like any parent, would be more worried about their child in the backseat.
And Officer Morrison, you actually got her out through the front windshield, and we're going to post that video later so our listeners can see it with a tool. You know, you obviously removed the front windshield and then got her out. Can you describe just the angle of the car, what made it difficult, and really how lucky they are that it landed the way it did?
Yeah, I mean, it's just approaching the vehicle from everything that we saw. There's a lot of things that obviously could have taken a turn for the worse. There was actually a concrete barrier wall that was just down that embankment, which was directly adjacent to the vehicle where it had landed. And, you know, God forbid, I'm glad it worked out the way that it did. But if she had gone down that embankment any differently, she could have hit head on into that wall and it could have been a lot worse and may have not been a rescue attempt at that point. So, glad to see that everybody was okay. It was just, I think the water and the ice and just the whole scenario just was what was the most difficult. Never been trained to do a water rescue or anything like that before, and that's not something you can really train for.
And we'll get into, after the commercial break, what led to her SUV going down that embankment and into the water. And fair warning, we've been told, we're told off the air by the firefighters, if they get a call, they got to go.
They got to go.
So to the firefighters, let me ask you this, Chief Hobbs and Captain Lance. Later in the body camera footage, we hear and see this device that you guys have or used to free her from the car. What is that thing? Because it is very loud.
This is Chief Hobbs. That tool that we use is called a Rhino. It's a glass cutter specifically made for laminated glass for the windshield. And now in newer model cars would be for the side windows and the rear windows as well.
And speak to me, if you will, either the chief or the captain, the how fortunate this woman is, you know, unfortunate that she went off the side of the road and into the creek. But it would have been so much worse if that car had landed on its right side.
Absolutely. The best way to put it is they're lucky. Fortunate that the car didn't land on its top, that the car didn't go farther into the creek, that the creek wasn't full of water after a good Midwest rain. I mean, all stars aligned, and they're very, very fortunate and lucky.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us via phone, and I know you probably aren't thanked enough, so thank you for your service and everything that you do, and, you know, we all hope we're never in a situation like that, but, man, we're sure glad you're around if something bad happens on the roadways.
You're welcome.
And Officer, so can I ask one more thing before we go to break, Officer? Could you see this car from the road?
No, and that was my biggest concern. She was lucky that she had a phone on her.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for her calling or a witness possibly seeing the crash, I don't think anybody would have located them in time.
Did somebody see the crash?
I believe that her husband was actually trailing them in a separate vehicle.
Oh, my gosh.
And witnessed them go down. So he was actually standing on top of the vehicle on the passenger side whenever we got there. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to open up any passenger side doors to get to the child or her just because the weight from the position of the vehicle, and I think the vehicle could have been malfunctioning as well. So
when we get back, there's also a ne'er-do-well involved in this story, and I do have to say you guys want some more information about what happened leading up to the wreck, and I think it's important that we get that information out as well.
All right, we'll continue in just a moment with Officer Zachary Morrison, Chief Tyler Hobbs, and Captain Josh Lance here on Dana and Parks. All right, if they get a call, they gots to go. Joining us on the phone from Liberty, Assistant Fire Chief Tyler Hobbs and Fire Captain Josh Lance, and in studio, Liberty Police Officer Zachary Morrison. We're talking about the freezing rescue that these three men had to perform earlier this week when a woman's car, SUV, went off the road, and she was trapped in her car in an icy creek, her six-month-old baby in the back seat. And to the three of you again, thank you for everything that you did. What a heroic and remarkable rescue.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what happened leading up to the wreck and why there might be another car that we are searching for here?
Yeah, so from what we were kind of told after everything was done on scene, it sounded like they were traveling, I believe, northbound on H Highway. And I believe there was another vehicle that was kind of approaching alongside them that may have blown a stop sign. And that's kind of what ended up having the mother. I believe she tried to swerve to avoid a crash. And I don't know if she overcorrected or lost control if it was icy on the road and ended up sliding down that embankment. And that's kind of what led to it.
So you would like to know the whereabouts of that other driver. Not probably, you know, that's kind of a needle in a haystack, but it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that we're still trying to work on, and I hope that we're able to figure that out. You would hope that somebody would stop if something like that happened, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't have seen it. But unfortunately, these things do happen, and we do have people that tend to drive away from the scenes of accidents all the time.
To the firefighters, a couple of questions from the text line that just came in. Was the mother unconscious, and what were her injuries, if you're willing to say?
This is Assistant Chief Hobbs. The mother was awake and talking the whole time. The child as well was awake and talking. The father of the child actually arrived on scene prior to fire and EMS and police, and he had made his way somehow on top of the car and was making verbal contact with his six-month-old in the back. So
I saw an additional male in some of the footage and wondered what was going on with that. That must have been frantic for him as well. My God. It almost seemed like everything that had to happen right happened right.
In a situation that was so awful.
Yeah.
Okay, a quiet group.
Well, y'all are in People Magazine, and we are so proud of you. And again, just thank you for everything you have done here. You actually had to go to the hospital, get checked out, Officer Morrison?
Yeah, just for how long I was exposed to the water. And I believe that was kind of the main concern of why Mom was transported as well. Because I think from everything that we saw on scene, she didn't have any noticeable injuries as far as related to the crash. But she was probably in that water a little bit longer than I was as well. So that was definitely a concern, but nothing major.
And you've been on the force 2 years. You said you've never delivered a baby. You've never nothing like this ever before.
Nothing like that. Just one of those things that you kind of roll up on. You're not expecting that you can't really train for, and you just kind of have to learn as you go and use that for if it ever happens the next time.
And we'll end with this. You got to meet the baby. You got to see the baby. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, honestly, that's a little bit of an emotional part for me. My father, myself, I do have a almost one-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old. So whenever we're coming up on that vehicle and I learned there's a six-month-old inside the car, that was my immediate concern. And that was a little bit emotional making contact with the child in the car. But once I realized that they were okay and was able to get them out, that was, I think, the best outcome. And it was good to see him. Father actually brought the child into the hospital room while I was there to see me. And you would have never even guessed that she had been through something like that. So it was pretty awesome to see that she was doing okay.
Happy baby.
Yes. Well, Assistant Chief Hobbs, Captain Lance, Officer Morrison, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for what you do and for sharing the story with us today.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you very much. By the way, have you told your mother?
I have, yes. Yes, I have.
Before she reads it in the paper.
Before she sees it in People Magazine, you should probably tell your mother.
I checked on her today, actually. So.
Officer, right, thank you again so much.
Well, thank you again for coming in. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. We will do the airing of the grievances right after 5 o'clock here on Dana and Parks. So here's a story. We ended the show with this last night, and we only had a couple of minutes to talk about it, and Dana wanted to bring it back, and for good reason, because you've heard about with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and some other superstar athletes whose homes have been burglarized. Yeah. It has happened again, whether it's connected or not, who knows at the moment. But it does follow the same pattern of the Travis Kelce and the Patrick Mahomes burglaries, etc. Pittsburgh Penguins forward Evgeny Malkin had his home broken into and burglarized over the weekend, and his three Stanley Cup championship rings are now missing. The Penguins say they're working with local police as well as team security officials, and that Malkin has requested that his privacy be maintained during what the team called an ongoing investigation. His rings, by the way, are from 2009, 2016, and 2017. He was not at home, obviously. I believe he was playing in a game against the Ottawa Senators. The alarm system and the cameras at the home were not turned on at the time of the break-in, and his safe, oof, where he kept his rings, was open.
Okay. I thought they put out, like, some sort of warning to all professional athletes about being careful what you post on social. Don't post every day. Obviously, people are going to know if you're in the NFL or NHL when you're playing. Turn on the TV. He's not home. Mm-hmm. There he is on the field. And I'm going to be honest, this came up yesterday amongst friends. I am maybe just overly cautious in light of what has happened with the burglaries locally. I would not be sharing or Instagramming any interior of anyone's home that is a professional athlete right now. And I'll leave it at that. Because there are photos flying around everywhere. And I'm uncomfortable with the media sharing of the interior of those homes. All of them, not pointing out anyone specific.
But we all know what you're talking about, and it's in the Kansas City Star.
I was like, why are they showing the inside of the house?
One of the players who was already a victim of a burglary.
Just stop showing the inside. I don't want to see the inside of the house.
By the way, Evgeny Malkin is the seventh professional athlete in the last 2 months who's had his home broken into.
Okay, but is it a ring, or is it now a bunch of other people going, oh, well, that's not a bad idea?
I don't know.
I think it's more of a bunch of other people saying that's not a bad idea. That would be a lofty.
Joe Burrow was one of them, remember?
Yes, he was.
That would be a lofty conspiracy to have that many people working together. A
couple of NBA players were also targeted, if not three, by the way. But to your point, Dana, and we all know who you're talking about. It's a local story.
Oh, and it makes me happy, and I love everything about everything, except stop showing photos of the house.
Yeah. The days of MTV Cribs is over.
Yeah.
If you are a celebrity in this day and age, and a rich celebrity, to Dana's point, it's time to stop letting the media into your home to photograph the inside of your house.
Well, and it used to not be an issue because in the days of MTV Cribs, to find out where that house is
was a lot more difficult. It took a few steps.
Today, it takes about 5 seconds if you know what you're Googling.
All right, can we do a funny burglary story for a minute? Because this is going around online and it made me smile. And it's a fun burglary story. Stick with me. You're a burglar, but you can only steal things that mildly inconvenience your victims. What are you taking? And then the meme goes on to say, I'm taking the plate that goes in the microwave. So I put this on social.
That's pretty good.
And here are some of the replies. All the shoelaces. The racks from the oven. One of the balancing legs off the washing machine so it bangs and clatters when you walk across the room during the spin cycle.
A leg off of any piece of furniture.
Yes. The toilet seat handle or the seat.
One of the bolts out of the toilet seat.
The first thing that came to my mind was all of their forks.
Oh, that's a good one. Because what's one thing that you wouldn't necessarily notice the second it was stolen, but once it was gone, you would be like, all right, what in the Sam Hill? I went with light bulbs. What if you just took light bulbs? Not all of them. 4 or 5.
Out of random lamps.
Like, what would make you crazy, Sam? That you didn't immediately notice was missing, but once you can't find it, you're going nuts.
Oh, I'm heavily OCD, so that's a tough question for me.
A wheel off the shop vac?
Nice.
One sock from all of the pairs of socks.
Coffee filters.
Toothbrushes.
Oh, that's a good one. Batteries out of the remotes and game controllers came in.
Just one battery, though. Leave the other one.
A coffee filter someone listed.
Hmm.
Here's one. The roller that holds your toilet paper roll.
The left sock. Or one sock out of every pair of socks.
Which, by the way, I think I got spammed or hacked or whatever you want to call it the other day. Because I get a package from Amazon. And my person is like, did you order something from Amazon? I'm like, I don't think so. And we open it, and it is one pair of socks. And I looked at him and I go, I did not order a pair of socks. He said, well, I didn't order a pair of socks. So we text all of the kids. None of the children have ordered socks. And it's a little odd to order one pair. And I think, Sam, the brand is Hurley. Does that sound right?
It's a sock brand, yeah.
So yeah, he says, do you want to wear them? And I go, I guess I'll keep them. Like, I don't, it was addressed to me. I did not order these socks. So the other night.
So your name was on the box. Your address was on the box.
I'm home by myself. I go in. My feet are cold. I put on a pair of socks. I'm watching a movie. And at one point, I look down, maybe 30 minutes later, and I realize that these socks, Scott, are labeled. One says L, and one says R, and I have them on the wrong feet.
Those are some nice socks.
And I ask you, when did we start labeling left and right? I don't even mate my socks. I just throw them all in a drawer. Some of them are black. Some of them are gray. And I say a little prayer when I grab two.
So I'm not wearing them today. I'm wearing just regular Nike socks today. But for Christmas, I told both of the girls, you know, because Sarah's just getting started in her career. Maya's at college. I told both of the girls, do not buy me anything. I don't need anything. Okay. I don't want anything.
Okay.
I want you to save your money. They both rolled their eyes and laughed. Hmm. Maya says, Dad, you've got to give me something that you need or could use.
Something.
And I said, Maya, if you want to get Dad something for Christmas, I would be thrilled with some new socks, workout socks. And I prefer black. And so she buys me some Air Jordan Nike socks. They're very nice. This is the first time this has ever happened to me in my life. It was six pairs. And I break them out of the mm-hmm. little container that they're in. Each one of them has an L and an R on the sole of the sock.
It's the damnedest thing.
And so now, while I love these socks and they're the most comfortable socks I've ever owned,
you're never going to be able to keep track of them.
Every time I do laundry now, and I'm the one who does laundry at the house because I like doing laundry, believe it or not, I have to get the socks out. And if I see two L's, I'm like, damn it, where's the R? It is a hassle doing laundry right now.
So I looked this up because I did not know that we have entered into the era of your socks have to be labeled, but that's apparently a must-have product.
Oh, you guys are obviously aging yourself here.
We are way behind the curve.
When I was in grade school and high school, fancy socks was a thing, and they were all labeled left and right, and it has to do with the stitching.
Oh, please. Okay, so this is what it says. These socks supposedly give you a better fit because the left and right feet are slightly different in shape, so a dedicated left and right sock can provide more precise fit, whatever. Performance enhancement can reduce discomfort and blisters. No.
That's true.
This does say for athletes, particularly runners, mm-hmm. better support can be fine. I am going to tell you there's a life hack for this, Scott, with respect to laundry, which I do not do. But I don't keep good track of socks, so this is something that I think can help you. You can buy a mesh little net thing, just a little tiny mesh thing, and it's got a drawstring on it. My mom has told me this. You put all of the socks in the mesh net thing. You put the mesh net thing in the washer and dryer, and then everything gets washed and dried, but the socks all stay together. Because I will go on a limb here and say I think I will have those left-right pair of socks. I'm giving it 4 weeks before I lose one.
4 minutes.
Yeah, I don't mate my socks anyway. Those socks are not long for this world. I don't need to further complicate the sock missing issue with L's and R's.
Well, so they add more padding to where the ball of your foot is going to be. That's the cutting down on blisters.
The ball of your foot is always in the same spot.
On both feet.
Well, that's, yes, that's what I'm saying. And so if it's a left sock, when you're looking down at the sock.
Oh, you're talking about the ball, not the heel.
Yeah.
Or the whatever the thing is.
Under your big toe.
Correct.
Oh.
All right, fair point.
So if it's the left sock, you're going to have more padding on the right side of the toe of that sock. If it's the right sock, you're going to have more padding on the left side of the toe of that sock.
I'm not doing 36.2 here. I'm walking around the kitchen.
Well, if you are a runner, if you're a basketball player, if you're a soccer player, and you're doing a lot of cutting, mm-hmm. where you're putting a lot of force into that foot, you're going to get blisters on the inside of the ball of your foot, padding.
I think this is a gigantic conspiracy
to get us
to pay more money for socks. That's what this is.
Because once you lose one,
you guys are.
Don't you remember, Sam? Stance socks. Everybody in my kids' high school, you have to have Stance socks. This was maybe 10 years ago. This is just another thing to make you spend more money on things.
They also have more support around the arch of the foot, so that there's less clumping around the arch while you're running.
When I'm walking from the television to my bedroom and back to the kitchen.
On the from Channel 5, on the day that Kansas City's mayor introduced an ordinance that would budget $1 million for overtime pay police patrols of the entertainment districts, one neighborhood has already taken matters into their own hands. The River Market is among the neighborhoods that would be covered under the proposal made by Mayor Quentin Lucas yesterday, but the River Market Community Association and the River Market Community Improvement District have been working on solutions of their own for months. The first launches Thursday night. Rob Ryman, a 9-year resident of the area who sits on the RMCA board, said there will be 3 private security officers patrolling the area from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. 2 will be in marked cars. 1 will be on foot.
Okay.
He said there is no, they maneuvered some money around. There is no added cost. So the River Market is already adding security from 10 at night to 6 in the morning.
You would be so fed up.
Oh, God. You couldn't pay me to run my own business. There's just no way.
I am in awe of those who do it and do it well. Truly.
When it comes to body types, this is from the New York Post. It's not just how much you weigh or how much weight you carry. It's where you store it. Research shows that people with apple-shaped bodies, those with a wider midsection.
Got them apple-bottom jeans with the fur.
And a less.
Did y'all do some drugs during the break? First, you can't understand why socks are cut differently. And now, what is going on in there?
I'm going to need to hear those songs. Sorry, go ahead. I digress.
Research shows that people with apple-bottom jeans, those with a wider midsection
and the less with the fur
and less defined waist, face a higher risk of serious health problems compared to their pear-shaped counterparts, who tend to carry excess weight in the hips, buttocks, and thighs.
The whole club was looking at her.
She
and I'm the one doing drugs.
Next thing you know, low.
Speaking of weight, by the way, this story from BBC: calling people obese is medically flawed.
Oh, do tell.
And the definition should be split into two, according to a new report from global experts. The term clinical obesity should be used for patients with a medical condition caused by their weight, while pre-clinically obese should be applied to those remaining fat but fit, although at risk of disease. And there was another story we had in the stack earlier this week. We don't have it today, and we never got to it.
The athletic earlier. Build
that's
that,
exactly
that
right.
carries more muscle weight.
So the argument was made, I can't remember the other athlete, but one of them was in the article was Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That they mentioned in the story. And I've made this argument for years on this show. Years. Almost to the point where I'm blue in the face. The BMI is the most flawed system for judging whether somebody is in shape or not in shape or at their ideal weight or not at their ideal weight. And I used to make the argument years ago that according to the BMI, and this is when he was a player for the Kansas City Chiefs, that if you took his height and his weight, Priest Holmes would have been clinically obese when he played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Probably level 3, yeah.
I believe his playing weight was 225 or 230 pounds, I can't remember, and Priest Holmes was only 5'9". That is clinically obese on the BMI chart, if I'm not mistaken. They also mentioned that Travis Kelce, who I think we can all argue as a professional football player and maybe arguably the greatest tight end that ever played the game, is almost clinically obese based on his height and his weight. And the story made the argument, it is time to move the numbers or do away with BMI altogether.
It is incredibly flawed when it comes to trying to figure out how healthy a person is. It has nothing to do with health. At 6'5", which Travis Kelce is, if you are 253 pounds, you are level 1 clinically obese.
And what does he weigh?
His draft weight was 250.
So he was 3 pounds away from being clinically obese.
Correct.
When he was drafted out of the University of Cincinnati, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There is a sickening and disheartening development in the world of local television news and specifically weather. And when I say local, I'm not necessarily talking about Kansas City. I'm talking about local news and weather across the country. And we will talk about it when we come back. The importance of having a local meteorologist who knows how to describe the lay of the land during a severe weather emergency, knows how to pronounce your streets, will be going away within the body of one company. We'll talk about it when we come back. On Twitter, and saw a meteorologist post that I'm so disheartened, and this is such a sad day for so many of my meteorological colleagues around the country. And I look this up, and look, newsroom staffs are getting smaller, budgets are shrinking, like all of those things. People are being asked to do more with less, and they're adding hours of content, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But today, a pretty decent sized media company, is apparently prepping to hub weather.
Tell people what hubbing means.
Which means they will be cutting local meteorologists.
And basically farming it out
It looks to be Atlanta. And we're looking
up... They don't even have a station in Atlanta.
We're looking up where... hubbing means you basically take one group of stations, and they will have one or two meteorologists covering all of the stations. The problem with that is, and you know this, Scott, forecasting and explaining what is going on during wildfires in California is very, very different than forecasting what is happening when a hurricane approaches down south, and very different than forecasting what is happening when a tornado is about to touch down. What is going to happen during severe weather coverage is not good if they are hubbing this with meteorologists that I'm sure are perfectly capable, mm-hmm. but are not used to probably covering a wide variety of weather across the country. The Weather Channel does a great job showing what happens after a tornado's touchdown. And certainly, like, there is severe weather approaching one metropolitan area, but you're not going to get, you know, if you're at, you know, 119th and Schweitzer, the way a Brian Busby zooms in and says, this is where we're seeing severe weather right now.
Right. So this company, Allen Media Group, that has made this decision to farm out their local weather to one hub, if you will, call it what you want, farming out, hubbing, whatever, tends to be in smaller markets across the country. They do have one major market, and that would be the ABC affiliate in Honolulu, Hawaii. But there are other affiliates, and they're mostly affiliated with ABC, although there's a handful of, there's one Fox, two Fox, a couple of CBSs, and some NBCs. But mostly they're affiliated with ABC. But they're in places like Montgomery, Alabama, Hilo, Hawaii, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. They have an ABC affiliate there. Rockford, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana. You know, and there's several more, but they're all kind of in that vein where they're much smaller markets. Let me say this. They're not in a single city that has a major sports franchise of any kind.
I will say this. Could Brian forecast expertly, you know, during severe weather for a Topeka or a Lawrence or, you know, one of the towns around, you know, outside of our DMA, certainly, Scott, but around Kansas and Missouri?
Well, of course.
He could. But when they study news coverage, weather coverage
is number one.
Is number one with a bullet across every single market in the country with respect to the public service it provides, with respect to trust, mm-hmm. all of those things, and quite frankly, with respect to revenue. People want severe local weather coverage. People want weather coverage, period. Weather coverage, period.
It's amazing.
It ranks above all else, certainly above news and sports and all of the other things. Yep. Weather is always at the top.
There is you can get anything you want on your phone. You can get the stock market.
Yeah.
You can get news.
KU basketball score.
Yeah, you can get anything you want. And by and large, the younger generations, people who are Sam's age or a little bit above or below, get their news not through watching David Muir at night. They get their news on either TikTok or The Daily Show or Twitter or whatever. But for whatever reason, weather is the one thing that, even though you can get it on your phone, I can tell you the temperature right now. I can tell you what it's going to be at 7 o'clock tonight. I can tell you what it's going to be at noon tomorrow. People want to have their weather read to them. They want to see the map. It is the leading...
You will stop and look, won't you, when you're walking by and they're showing you something? Yes. No, I don't mean on the 72-degree day where it is sunny and there's nothing going on, but on right. the day that like it's going to drop this weekend for like the Chiefs game.
I wanted to know, when does the bottom fall out? What is it going to be on Monday and Tuesday? What is going to be awful? But one other thing very quickly, and I'll give you guys listening a little inside baseball here. There is a reason that they tease the weather right at the top of every newscast. I've never been in television, but I know enough to be dangerous. There is a reason they tease the weather right at the top of the hour, and you will never see an evening forecast that starts before the 15th minute.
Yeah, they lead the news with the tease at the top.
To get you to tune in at 16, 17, or 18 whenever they get to the weather, because they want that next average quarter hour for the ratings.
They also end with it every single night. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that is also because it is the best public, one of the best public services we can provide.
No doubt about it.
And this is TV exclusive?
It is television exclusive, but I said this on Twitter. Good luck mispronouncing all of the street names during severe weather coverage. Is it going to be, you know, it's sad, it's maddening that colleagues are losing their jobs. Where it's really going to hurt is during severe weather.
No question about it.
I hate to go squirrel, and it's kind of squirrel, but I finally watched Twisters, and it was good.
It was good.
Dana and I did that screening with Busby months and months ago.
It was so much fun.
I had to miss that one.
It was horribly entertaining.
It was good. I liked it. I would watch it again.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I was shocked that I liked it.
By the way, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the top of the hour news with Dan Weinbaum. We have every line open. So if you want in, get in. The airing of the grievances when we return. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com, 586-7798, 913-586-7798 for Festivus Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.